Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today, we continue our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, part two. As we talked about in part one of the podcast here, it's not easy to play without Hunter Pence. Matt Cain, a lot of people pointed to him and said, well, he's going to be a big key to the season. And now who knows when he'll come back for the Giants. Jake Peavy, the back issues, and other players that you mentioned earlier about not having Travis Ishikawa because he could be an important bench piece. And Casey McGee was out for a little while. Just all this stuff hit at once. Do you think maybe the Giants have handled it okay, even though their record to start out the year wasn't so great?
As well as they can. I mean, Bochy didn't go off. He had a couple of team meetings. I don't think he threw over the spread many times, if at all. Nobody popped off in the clubhouse like, woe is me, I want to be traded. What am I doing here? What an awful clubhouse. You know, meantime, we've seen maybe an emergence of Justin Maxwell, Chris Heston, guys who would not have gotten the opportunity if a Pence or a Kane we're playing on a regular basis. So I guess that's a good thing. Heston, kind of a long-time minor leaguer, had a real nice season last year, and Maxwell brought in from the outside. So those are kind of two pluses in a negative season to date. And if you didn't have those guys, then I think there would be more gloom and doom. But at least maybe they have depth where in a lot of areas over the years maybe they didn't.
Well, some people thought maybe the Giants would make a move. I mean, there are teams that do that when they lose a player like Hunter Pence, and we weren't sure how long he was going to be out, but I think a lot of people expected that he'd be out for the entire month of April, and we'll have to see about into May. Giants, you know, they didn't make a move, and they're kind of going in that direction lately. They didn't have a big offseason of moves. They didn't make a move when they needed a second baseman last year other than, you know, they tried Dan Uggla. That didn't work out. And then Joe Panik was fantastic, so it worked out there. So, you know, getting maybe not lucky, but getting your farm system like Chris Heston to contribute, how much does that say about just the Giants and the wherewithal they have to be able to make things work?
Yeah, they don't have a real quick trigger unless we're talking mid-season or late July at the trade deadline. Pat Burrell came along. That was fairly early, you know, a pickup in May, didn't show up till June, you know, after some time in the minors. And then he was real advantageous to that team, all the strikeouts in the World Series notwithstanding. But he was a presence and a good one because they kind of became homer happy. And they did a lot of things that maybe the 12 and 14 teams didn't do. So they're not, quick with the trigger this early in the season, knowing that they have Hunter Pence coming back, hoping they have Matt Cain coming back. And again, with both of those guys, they were hoping for a little quicker rehab process. Pence perhaps as late as, you know, now or late April, but it's not going to be till May. Cain, you know, really hasn't picked up a ball to start throwing. And, you know, that's going to be another several weeks before you can actually get in a major league game. So they're not close on any of those guys. And they're not, you know, making moves. I mean, they're not A.J. Preller, where it's a move every two or three days.
right.
Granted, the Padres are off to a nice start, and all those moves are paying off. But that's just the way Sabian and now Bobby Evans have conducted themselves. They just don't make moves early on. They kind of want to see how the team plays out at least for a couple of months before they go into a panic mood or at least a, you know, let's get this thing rolling mood.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
John, the New York Yankees have been conducting their business in a way that says they don't want to pay Alex Rodriguez for the milestones that he, you know, can reach. And he is very close to reaching Willie Mays in the 660 home runs. And you wrote about it, and I hadn't seen anything about Mays commenting about it until I saw your story in the San Francisco Chronicle. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, Mays came right out and said he doesn't mind it. And that just says a lot about Willie Mays, doesn't it? Just the class act that he is, that he understands that records are made to be broken. And even if it is an unlikable character like Alex Rodriguez, I mean, he still took the high road on that one.
Yeah, and Giant fans will remember when Barry Bonds, his godson, got to 660 and 661. I mean, Willie went as far as going on the field, greeting him with a torch they both carried in the 02 Winter Olympic March. And you know, it had diamonds, and it wasn't just passing the torch. It was literally passing a torch. And that was basically, hey, welcome to the 660 club. I got no problem with this at all. And he's kind of saying similar things now. He's not going to be in New York to give anything to A-Rod because he's a Giant. But, you know, I asked him, I said, are you okay with A-Rod coming up to your mark and passing it? And he said, well, why shouldn't I be? And, yeah, records are made to be broken. Milestones are made to be passed. He talked about how, you know, he and Hank went after Babe's record, and Hank got it, and then Barry came and took it from Hank. And so it's an evolution that goes back to the mid-60s for Willie when he passed Mel Ott. And Mel Ott had the Giants' all-time record. He had the National League all-time record. And with one swing of the bat, you know, Mays took both of them from Mel Ott. And so I think he was appreciative of Ott, and I think he realizes all these players who approach his milestones or records are appreciative of what he did. So it's not like he is just going to whine about it because, hey, there's nothing you can do about the steroid era, about, you know, what A-Rod and Barry might have or might not have done. You know, it's just a different era, and he's always going to be up there among the leaders, and he's always, in probably most people's minds, is always going to be considered the greatest ever, no matter how many people pass him on the home run list.
And he's not really jealous, at least I couldn't tell from the quote if he was jealous about the money that A-Rod's going to make for passing the milestones, you know, $6 million bonuses each time he passes the top home run hitters, which the Yankees don't want to honor. What do you think of all that?
Well, I think it's kind of sad that a team would allow a player and an agent and a union to include that on a contract. I mean, I thought that stuff wasn't supposed to be done anyway.
Right.
You know, plate appearances, yeah. Games pitched, yeah. But not against another person of, you know, historical significance like Mays and then Babe and then Hank and then Barry getting $6 million each time he reaches these guys. I think it's kind of sad, and I feel a little bit uneasy about it. It's almost like it's in Willie's face, you know. Hey, you know, I just caught you, I passed you, and now give me my $6 million. I said, really? I mean, I've written a couple times that he should donate every dollar of it to the Say Hey Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he's looking for PR, that would be a big step. And he might not even get it. I mean, the Yankees don't want to give it to him. They're not really going to celebrate this thing like the Giants did with Bonds. I mean, they didn't even want A-Rod to be here, and A-Rod kind of forced himself on the Yankees. The Yankees took him, and now he's probably their best player. I mean, they need the guy, but they're not going to celebrate the guy, which is kind of goofy, huh?
Well, yeah, Brian Cashman and the Steinbrenners, they could stand there in their suite or something and just have their arms folded like Bud Selig did when Bonds was approaching the Aaron record. Maybe they could act like that.
No, Bud had his hands in his pockets.
Or his hands were in his pockets, that. Okay.
In fact, I think there's a statue in Milwaukee of Bud Selig and his hands are in his pockets. So that's kind of a trait.
Coming up, we'll talk with John about Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price and the tirade he had earlier this week right after this. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I guess they should have hired me for that TV commercial. No, I don't think so. But seriously, in San Francisco, it's really true. In fact, AT&T Park has a good neighbor right around the corner. That's right. Sandy Lee State Farm is a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park at 188 South Park Street on the corner of 3rd Street. Sandy Lee has been my State Farm agent for 10 years, and I have to tell you, when I've made claims, Sandy Lee gave me peace of mind, which is what we all need when it comes to insurance. Whether it's car, home, or even earthquake insurance, Sandy Lee and her team are down to earth, devoted, and understanding. They take control of any situation, and you never feel like you're being sold something. Give Sandy Lee State Farm a call at 415-227-9833. That's 415-227-9833 for Sandy Lee State Farm. Okay, let's talk about the big story of the week in Major League Baseball. Brian Price, the manager of the Cincinnati Reds, going off on some reporters and having it recorded and dropping a lot of F-bombs. I mean, it's going to be right up there as far as historical rants. We've seen great, where we've heard great ones, you know, Tommy Lasorda and Lee Elia of that ilk. And this is right up there. But I'm going to say, and I first of all, I encourage people to read my blog, which is here on thesportsvirus.com. And there's also a link to the audio of the rant. So we're not going to play it here, but you can hear what Brian Price was saying. And I think there's a lot of wrong things about what he was saying, John, but I do understand a little bit of the fact that, do we really have to have everything right now? I know we're in a society where you have social media, you got Twitter. I know the reporters have a job to do, and I want to hear your opinions on it. You definitely have a job to do. You want to try to get everything out there. But I also think that sometimes you might want to just hold on to something for a little bit here. Like, you know, a player being demoted down to AAA, and that comes out before the player even finds out about it. You know, it's just the timing of it was difficult for Brian Price to swallow. And he's getting paid to win games, and he's worried that information's coming out that he didn't want to get out. And he can't control all that. I know that. You definitely can't. But just tell us what you think of the relationship between reporter, you know, beat reporter, columnist, and manager, and how that can really flourish and be correct, because this one seems broken in Cincinnati.
Yeah, first of all, Twitter has changed everything. It's so immediate.
Yeah.
Back when I started, I hope I scoop the next guy. I won't know until, you know, I get the other guy's paper on my doorstep, you know, 12, 15, 18 hours from now. Now it's a matter of seconds. And it's funny, when Giant beat writers and A's beat writers talk to their respective managers, there is an amount of respect in that there is no tweeting during the pregame press conference,
okay,
right? So you're crowded around the manager and nobody tweets. It's just an ethical, respectful thing to do. You talk to Don Mattingly, he says something, and six guys turn to their phones and tweet it while he's... I mean, it's unbelievable. And
wow.
I asked Dylan Hernandez about that. I said, why don't you just wait? He said, no. I mean, everyone's doing it. So I mean, he's doing it right in front of Mattingly. He's a foot away from Mattingly tweeting what he just said. So that's how immediate it is. And it's really unfortunate for Brian Price. I mean, I really like him a lot. He comes from the Bay Area. He went to my high school. A good friend of mine coached him through Babe Ruth, All-Stars. So I've known him for quite a long time. And I really respect the guy, and I was happy he got the job, paying his dues, never played in the big leagues, out of Cal, 4 years at Cal. I think he still has the record for most innings pitched. He was there all 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, longtime minor leaguer, had some arm issues, didn't make it to the bigs, but paid his dues for like a decade and a half as a minor league pitching coach, and then major league pitching coach under some big names, Lou Piniella, Bob Melvin in two stops, Dusty Baker in Cincinnati. And, hey, when he got the job, I was thrilled. You know, real smart guy. Real good around the media, I thought. Real good with the players. He's just a perfect guy. I mean, the Reds team last year, tons of injuries. So now they're a little bit healthier. They had a little start, but now they're in a little funk. So anyway, so now we're in a pregame, and he kind of turns it around and asks the questions and drops 77 F-bombs in 5.5 minutes. Totally subdued. Not your Lee Elia, Tommy Lasorda, Hal McRae.
True. He wasn't screaming.
Larry Boa kind of rant.
Right. He wasn't yelling.
The veins weren't popping. You know, smoke wasn't coming out of his ears.
Right.
It was a discussion. He just happened to drop 77 F-bombs in 5.5 minutes. So now it's an all-time rant. But then he apologized for all the F-bombs, but not the substance of the rant. In other words, I'm still kind of upset that this stuff gets out. I'm still kind of upset I'm asked this stuff every day about the lineup. Well, Bob Melvin, Bruce Bochy, the guys who have been there and doing it forever, are just, you know, so in tune with giving enough information to satisfy the media, but not giving it away everything where, you know, you're going to totally screw yourself. So it's a game. You know, the media uses the manager uses the media, and then you walk off and you write your story and call it a day. But in this case, I just think it really, you could tell it's been bothering him for a while, and I'm sorry that he wasn't educated a little bit more. I don't know if that didn't come from the PR department of the Reds or whether there were conversations with the PR department, but he let loose anyway. Listen, this era, unlike previous eras, we have much more media working for the team. In other words, MLB.com.
Right.
If you go to the Red site, they don't have word one of this rant, you know, because
right.
it's all pro positive Red stuff, you know, and you have to go to the newspapers to find out the truth in a lot of things, you know, because some things MLB.com can't write about. I mean, they said, you know, we can't use the word steroid unless it gets approved, things like that. So, and it's in the same, you know, for Comcast or, you know, when the Giants pay, you know, millions of dollars for the rights, and they kind of have a lot of say on what a lot of the content is going to be on the TV and perhaps even on the website. So given that, you have an awful lot of people at these press conferences who are kind of pro-team, team-oriented, versus fewer and fewer newspapers. I mean, back in 1990, I remember there were 9 newspapers covering the Oakland A's. There was no MLB.com. It was 9 third-party media outlets covering the Oakland A's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now it's 2. It's the Chronicle and all the others, including the Mercury, the Tribune, and Contra Costa Time. That's all one reporter doing it for all those.
Right.
So it's just a different vibe, and a lot of these managers might get used to questions that might not be as challenging because, you know, when you work for a particular, you know, Giants magazine, or if you're, you know, on the broadcast team, you're going to ask a lot more softball questions, hopefully,
right,
than maybe a reporter who's out, you know, to get more of a newsy twist on what just transpired or what will transpire. So you look at the press box, maybe when I broke in, there might have been 10% of the people actually working for the team sitting in those seats. Now it's probably, you know, 75, 80% people sitting in those seats are some manner affiliated with Major League Baseball or the Giants.
We'll continue the conversation with John Shea right after this. It was time for a new pair of snow skis, and I couldn't be happier with my decision to buy them at Demosport, where the experience was great, and I found out that they not only have skis, but they have snowboards and snow apparel. And for the summer, get ready with water skis, wakeboards, stand-up paddle boards, and all of your land sports needs like bikes and scooters, and can even get sunglasses there. Demosport, 1101 Francisco Boulevard in San Rafael. Call them at 415-454-3500. Demosport, committed to getting you the gear you need.
To me, I guess with Brian Price, I feel like I do want to take his side on one area of it because, you know, I don't think he should be having reporters sitting around that are shills for the team, and he's got to service that. You know, I don't think that, you know, they should all be holding information, let's put it that way. But I just think the timing of things, that's what really caught my attention was, I understand Twitter. I understand that everybody wants to get the information now, like right immediately. But for a baseball game, you know, and I guess Bruce Bochy, like you said, handles this really well. Let's say you have Casey McGee and he ostensibly is available to be a pinch hitter, but really he isn't because his knee is killing him. You know, he handles that well enough that doesn't get out there. Maybe Brian Price didn't handle that well enough because I think, you know, radio announcers who were doing the broadcast that night, they're going to want to know, because they don't want to. They're not going to rip the manager for not using somebody if they know that information. But if you're getting it out there before the game on Twitter and the other team is finding out, it definitely is hurting your chances to manage a game.
On the other hand, baseball loves that media have access, unlike in hockey where they don't really tell you what the injury is, lower body, upper body. You know, unlike the NBA, when I go out there, there's maybe an hour, half hour in the locker room, and players aren't always available. In baseball, the access, even though up until a few years ago, the clubhouse was open before and after batting practice, and in some cases during, now it's only open maybe for about an hour before batting practice, and that's it. But baseball players, unlike football players, are so accessible. It's almost part of the game. And, you know, the commissioners and people love the free advertising. I mean, you pick up the sports section and, you know, there's half a page on the A's, half a page on the Giants, a whole bunch of Warriors stuff. I mean, they're not taking out ads. They are, but they get probably most of their advertising from, you know, the beat writers who write about their team every single day, whether
right.
it's good news or bad news, it's news. And so it's in the paper, it's free advertising. But, you know, I just think that, you know, the accessibility that we see in baseball is probably a good thing, because it's a sport, you know, it's the pastime. It's what your neighbor plays. It's what everyone who's 5'9 and 150 plays. You know, they can't, you know, they might be able to play a little high school, a little college, maybe even go to the pros, where you cannot do that in football. You cannot do that in basketball. So it's kind of a every man's game, and I think they want to keep it that way. I think they want people relating to it. They want people reading about the characters. They want people reading about the information. It's huge on Twitter. It's huge on Facebook. It's huge, you know, on all the blogs. And it's just an easier and better thing to write about, I think, than the other sports, because I think more people in this country can relate to it.
I think it is interesting, though, that it's funny in a way that we want managers and everybody to be honest with us as media members, but at the same time, they really can't. I mean, you look at this situation with Brian Price, he probably shouldn't be forthcoming about everything, because if it's going to get out there before the game, the other team's going to find out about it, he needs to hold back. You really have to be diplomatic. You know, I know this isn't Watergate here, but it's baseball, but still, this is important information.
It is, and you know, he was speaking about certain players who weren't able to, you know, hit from the left side, but they could from the right side because
right.
of the hand injury.
Billy Hamilton,
yeah, and he was talking about certain players who, you know, were unable to, you know, seen on an airplane coming up from AAA, while the Reds were a little bit slow to tell the guy who's being sent down that, hey, you're being sent down. So maybe the guy heard that he was being demoted on Twitter,
yeah.
or a family member who read about it. Well, that's kind of on the Reds for not telling them before buying a ticket for the AAA guy to come up.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just a matter of communication, getting the word out and letting these people know before you're telling the guy who's replacing the guy who's being sent down. So I think the fault is not just Brian Price. It's certainly not on the media, because they're just doing their job. But I think maybe this is a wake-up call for some teams to maybe communicate this a little better, let the word out a little bit more smooth, and prevent this from happening by making sure everybody knows about the move simultaneously. And I don't think it would be that hard to do.
No, and I do want to say that I am a proponent of Twitter, especially when you retweet the podcast here out, because then a lot of people find out about it, and it's great. So, yeah, I mean, there are positives to Twitter, right?
Exactly. I better do that this time.
Exactly. All right, John, hey, thanks a lot for all the time, and see you at the ballpark soon, and we'll talk soon.
Enjoyed it. You bet. We'll see you soon.
That's part two of our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. We'll hear from him every couple of weeks here on thesportsvirus.com. Coming up on Monday, we'll be talking to Alana Rizzo. She is a television reporter for the Los Angeles Dodgers, as the Giants will be visiting L.A. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.